We're going to talk a little, just a little excerpt on Jeremiah. Very seldom do you hear a brethren talk on Jeremiah. So we're going to touch on it just a little bit here. And this is in the 29th chapter of Jeremiah, and it's addressed to the message to the exiles. Actually starts on the 29th chapter, verse 11. But we'll read from Scripture here before we get into our thoughts. Verse 8 says, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets who are in your midst and your diviners deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams which they dream. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord God, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place." These words were to them, but brethren, they apply to us just as well. He says, "For I know the plans that I have for you." He knows the plans that he has for all of us, as well as the Jews. Your welfare, and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Now, the year was approximately 626 B.C. Jeremiah came from a priestly family in Anathoth, a suburb of Jerusalem. As the author of one of the longest prophetic books, his career spanned more than 40 years during the reigns of Judah's last five kings and beyond. That's incredible. 40 years. And Jeremiah was called by God when he was still a young man. And throughout his long and turbulent life, constantly had to confront a people who rejected God for false gods. He warned them that this would cause their destruction, but they refused to repent. So Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed, and the people were deported to Babylon. This seems to be Israel's destiny, as these scenes had happened so many times in the past. In his famous temple sermon, he told the people that the temple was vulnerable and nearly lost his life over it. Jesus drew from this sermon. Before Jerusalem fell, Jeremiah had to deal with lying prophets, predicting deliverance, and was treated as a traitor. I've often heard Bible students refer to Jeremiah as a prophet of doom and gloom. We shall see other scriptures in reference to God's plan later on. However, let's continue with this backdrop of the conditions and the condition of Israel at the time of this prophet. In a letter to those already in exile, he warned about the false prophets in Babylon and told the people to settle down for a long stay, giving them instructions for preserving their identity. When the city fell, the Babylonians gave Jeremiah the option of remaining in Judah. He chose to stay, but a band of Jews forced him to go to Egypt, where tradition has it that he died. An interesting fact about Jeremiah was the fact that he had similar experiences to Moses and Jonah. Jeremiah at first resisted the call, insisting that he was too young to be a prophet. "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born," he says, "I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, because I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go. And all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I will be with you and deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck and break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Remember Moses? I can't do that, Lord. I can't speak good. That's all right. Your brother speaks better than you do. Jonah, no, I don't want to prophesy for those people. They're not worth it. So you see, there was a great similarity. They all felt inadequate to carry out the plans of God. Like Moses, who felt he couldn't serve. He couldn't serve God because of his speech, as found in Exodus 4:10. Then Moses said to the Lord, please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently or in the past, nor hast thou spoken to thy servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And the Lord said to him, who makes him dumb or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now then go, and I will be with your mouth, the same as he told Jeremiah. And I will teach you what to say. Now is where Moses starts to argue with the creator of the universe. But he said, please, Lord, send the message by whomever thou wilt. Then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses. And he said, is there not your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he speaks fluently, and you are to speak to him and put the words in his mouth. And I will be with your mouth and his mouth, and I will teach you what you are to do. And then there was the story of Jonas, which we brought up, who felt that the people weren't worth savings. In fact, he went to a great, great extent to get away from God, which to me is almost humorous. But there's a tremendous amount of lessons in that little book of Jonah. The moral of the story is, if God says do it, you do it. The lesson to be called to us is to answer as did Isaiah when God called him. He said, here am I, send me. Remember, Samuel was a mere child when he conveyed God's message to Eli. Our scripture quoted as a glimpse of the future of Israel. In Jeremiah's prophecy to Israel, God told Jeremiah that his message would not only be to Judah, but all nations. Jeremiah 1:10. His prophetic coin would have two sides, one negative, root out and pull down, destroy, God's judgment, and the one positive, he says, build and plant, God's mercy. Jeremiah's mission for God was a tireless one, an example that we should follow, brethren, no matter what the consequences. There's no limit on how much we should honor and glorify the Lord. No matter the consequences, it matters the pain and suffering and persecution. Jeremiah the prophet may be considered the Paul of the Old Testament. Perhaps no other pre-Calvary prophet suffered as much for God as did Jeremiah. The truth is, in many ways, his sufferings foreshadowed the sufferings of the Savior. Consider, both Jeremiah and Jesus were hated by the religious world. Jeremiah 26:7. Both were plotted against by the citizens of their own hometowns. Jeremiah 11:21. Both were denounced by the synagogue leaders of their day. Jeremiah 20 and John 18:13. And both wept over the city of Jerusalem. Jeremiah 9 and Luke 19. And finally, both were accused falsely and beaten. Were Jeremiah's sufferings because of his stand for God worth it? They were indeed. Surely his conclusions would have been that of Paul's along this line, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Romans 8:18. Jeremiah, as well as the Apostle Paul, pointed to the future and how God would ultimately bless all of mankind in the kingdom. In this regard, Paul's remarks were more to the point, whereas Jeremiah's were more veiled. To show how certain the saving of Israel is, we quote God's remarks in Jeremiah 31:37. Thus says the Lord God, if the heavens above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out below, then I will cast off all the offspring of Israel for all they have done, declares the Lord. This statement ties in with our scripture study, which we quote in Jeremiah 29:11. God says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity. And not for calamity, but to give you a future and a hope. God was speaking of the future millennium period when Israel would receive their hearts of flesh and become the blesser nation for the entire world. Similar thoughts concerning Israel are found in Psalms 40 and 17. We quote, since I am afflicted and needy, let the Lord be mindful of me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. And finally, we find in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 11 and 12. So shall my words be which goeth forth from my mouth, God says. They shall not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in manner for which I sent it. For you will go out with joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will bring forth in claps of shout and joy before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Such will be when the kingdom is ushered in. Amen.